It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Russ Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. It is the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast. We'll start to have some guests looking ahead to the 2017 season over the next few weeks. But before we do that, I don't know if we've ever really found out what Evan's deal is, who he really is. Maybe we did really early years ago, but I know we've got a lot of new listeners. So we want you to know a little bit more about the guy I think is the best fantasy analyst in the country. That's why I picked him to be the host of the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast presented by both SaxUnderwear.com/Tucker and Omaha Steaks, putting the code Ross in the search bar. So delicious. Highly encourage you to do that and still try to get it in time for Father's Day. His name is Evan Silva. His Twitter handle, at Evan Silva. Makes a lot of sense. He is a RotoWorld.com superstar. I'm just Ross Tucker, former journeyman offensive lineman that's basically along for the ride on these Fantasy Feast podcasts. We keep naming every week two more new contestants for the MyFFPC.com High Stakes League, which will take place in early July. This week, it's Tony Deville, who not only took advantage of downloading the SeatGeek app on his phone and got the $20 off by using the code Ross, but he is a retired Navy commander. Tony, that is awesome. Thank you for your service. And Zach Jeffers, come on down as well, my friend. You are in as a result of you taking advantage of the unbelievable 20% off at SaxUnderwear.com, which is awesome. Simply awesome. Speaking of awesome, Evan, everybody listening knows I'm a pretty big fan of yours, have been for a while. I don't even remember how we first connected. I just kind of saw you were tweeting stuff, and then I started following you and reading you and came away extremely impressed. And I know some of this stuff. I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast or just when we went to Uncle Julio's that one night. But I know a lot of listeners don't know it. So let's dive into it, man. I know you love talking about yourself. I'm saying that, by the way, for the listeners, very tongue-in-cheek. Evan was relenting and fighting me on even doing this for a podcast. But I don't care. It's my podcast. So I want to do it. I think you guys will love it because I know you love the Andrew Brandt one. So, Evan, let's start. Where'd you grow up?
I was born in Fairfax, Virginia, and lived there until I was like 10 or 11, and then moved to St. Louis, Missouri, lived there from ages 11 to 18, went to high school there, went to Chaminade College Prep. That is where Jason Tatum currently is going, or where he's from. He went to Duke. He's going to be drafted in the NBA. Bradley Beal. He plays for the Washington Wizards. And David Lee was in my class. He most recently played for the San Antonio Spurs. Spent a lot of years with the Golden State Warriors. Really proud of my high school. Love my high school. It was an all boys school. But it was a lot of fun. And then I went to Marquette University, and I had intended to go to law school after Marquette, but just at the end of Marquette, I just kind of decided I did not want to do any more school. Started emailing Greg Rosenthal at RotoWorld, and he allowed me to write for free for a while, and then eventually they hired me.
Wow, I love it. Okay, so there's a lot there. Is Chaminade known as like the power basketball school in St. Louis?
It has become that way. It was not always that way. I don't know. I mean, like, there's a lot of good competition in St. Louis, especially there's like five big all boys schools, and they're in what's called the Metro Catholic Conference, and there are always big shifts in power among those five schools, but those schools are typically, you know, the cream of the crop, and then okay. You know, they will compete against bigger public schools, which of course have just more people in them. But yeah, I mean, it's a pretty good city for high school sports.
Okay, so then my question is, Fairfax till 10 or 11, and then St. Louis. Did you have a favorite NFL team growing up?
I mean, I liked the Redskins initially, and then I moved to St. Louis right around the time when the Rams had moved there. So I became a Rams fan. But, you know, I have no team allegiances at this point. You know, the Redskins are continually run into the ground like a poisoned organization by Dan Snyder, and the Rams, of course, moved away and were just a terrible laughing stock before they did move away. So I have no allegiance to any NFL teams.
So were you, like, really into the Rams when you were in high school? I mean, weren't they really good then?
Yeah, for a few years they were awesome. Yeah, I was definitely a big fan. It was fun. You know, they kind of changed the way that offense was played. And, you know, I've gone back and read books about you know, where they are in history, and you know, about where Mike Martz developed his offensive ideas, and, you know, about Dick Vermeil, and I think that it was a cool little pocket in NFL history. It didn't last for very long, but it did, you know, in some ways revolutionize the way that teams played offense. They were very, very much almost like ahead of their time. I think that one of their downfalls in the end was just the length of the dropbacks that Mike Martz would need require his quarterbacks to take for those deep routes. But man, when it was working, it was almost indefensible with Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt and Oz Hakeem and Ricky Prohl. Those were definitely some fun years.
When did you stop your allegiance? Like, obviously you were a fan. When did that end?
My first couple of years at Roto World, I was still a little bit of a Rams fan. And this was in like 2006, 2007. But it just went away. You know, I just didn't care anymore.
Yeah, I think once you're working the business and once you're into it, you really care about your picks and your players, and you care about being right, and you care about your profession more than, you know, some prior allegiance. I guess my question is a few more for sure. So, what kind of athlete were you? Any playing sports?
Yeah, I mean, I played baseball and football. I just, you know, I went to a school where people were real good, and I was like big and slow, so I didn't have that quick twitch explosiveness to be able to be any good, and so I wasn't great. But I competed. I put my hat in there, and you know, just wasn't as good as the other guys.
Yeah, that's the problem sometimes when you go to those powerhouse Catholic schools. It's like, you better be really good. I mean, I even say we live in a pretty large public school district, and man, if you want to start before your senior year, you better be really good. And even your senior year, you better, you know, first, you know, you better be good. When did you first get into fantasy? I mean, obviously you said when you were at Marquette, or when you decided you didn't want to go to law school, you started emailing Greg Rosenthal, who's now the, you know, the head of the Around the NFL blog over at NFL.com. He was at Roto World. But when did you first start getting into fantasy, playing fantasy?
So my dad played fantasy football and fantasy baseball. And I remember one year he was the commissioner of his fantasy football league, and I just ended up putting together all the stats and, you know, reading the newspapers to get all the stats and compiling them. And I mean, that was really my first exposure to fantasy football. I wasn't really super into like, oh, I really want to get into the fantasy football industry in 2006. I really just wanted to write about sports in some capacity. And I always loved Roto-World. I knew that they had like a fantasy lean, but you know, the player news page, I always just thought was really, really cool. And that wasn't necessarily with a big lean toward fantasy. I mean, the Roto-World news page posts about offensive linemen and defensive linemen and, you know, how good is a defense going to be. And, you know, I mean, it's not just about fantasy football. So I wasn't huge into fantasy football at that time. And for the first few years at Roto-World, I was, you know, I would have considered myself more of like an NFL writer than a fantasy football writer. But then fantasy football started to get really, really big. And I started to understand how so many people were into it because of Twitter, really. I mean, just connecting with more people. And Twitter became big in like 2009. So that's really when I started to get more into fantasy football at that time, just because I realized how big it was and really how fun it was. And I started to get more serious about it as a player. So that's kind of my journey from a fantasy standpoint.
Got it. And I was going to ask you your first big break, but it sounds like you already said it, and that was basically just emailing Greg Rosenthal and writing for free. I mean, it's amazing, Evan. I don't want to say that's everybody's story, but that's a lot of people's story, is that they just love it, they want to be a part of it, and they keep volunteering and saying they'll do it to the point where someone gives you a chance, and then when you show you do a pretty good job with that chance, then maybe they hire you when they have an opening.
Yeah, recently there was a big debate on Twitter about, I think it was like Darren Rovell who said, you know, you should be willing to write for free to get an opportunity. And then like a bunch of people just attacked him about it. And, you know, I mean, I didn't really weigh into that. But, you know, I thought to myself, man, I mean, that's how I got my foot in the door. And, you know, we've had like Jonathan Bales, who right now runs one of the most successful fantasy projection companies in, you know, on the planet, in Fantasy Labs. And we've had him on the show before, and he wrote for free for years, you know. And I know that a lot of people, you know, that's how they got their start, and that's how they were able to show other people that were decision makers that they had this level of passion. So to discourage people that have that passion from just, you know, creating their own path, I mean, I think that is bad advice. I don't think the advice that, you know, think what you want about Darren Rovell, in that moment, I think that he was giving good advice. I mean, I do think that if you have a level of passion and work ethic, that you should be able to, or you should be willing to pursue that, even if it means, you know, grinding and making no money for a select period of time.
Well, can you describe your current process, Evan? I'm sure it's different during the season than it is now, but you know, what do you do? I mean, I know, yeah, I guess you can start by talking about your title and the guys that work for you, but then specifically what your process is to be so prepared for the articles you write, for the leagues you draft, and obviously for this podcast.
All right, so I guess we could just talk about the in-season process because it's really changing throughout the off-season. You know, a big chunk of my from January through April is just trying to learn about all the dudes coming out of college, and you know, watching as many of them as I can play, learning about how statistically productive they were at the college level. You know, and looking at their combine measurables and trying to find out where they're going to get drafted, trying to figure out where they're going to get drafted. And then when we do find out where they get drafted, you know, trying to apply that to the previous evaluation, you know, with a guy like Kenny Golladay, who we talked about in the Dynasty rookie rankings. You know, I thought he would probably be like, a fifth to seventh round pick, but we see him go in the top 100. And it's like, ooh, you know, and then we see that he's got immediate opportunity in Detroit. And, I mean, he's a much more appealing prospect after the draft than he was before. So I'm trying to use, you know, all the different information that I possibly can to, you know, arrive at, like, a decent projection. And that's really what January through the end of April is all about, with, of course, NFL free agency mixed in. During the season and then, you know, the rest of the way, we're writing our magazine. I'm going to do all these team previews on Roto World, and there will be, like, you know, one per team, one each day. I'm going to start that pretty soon. And then, you know, the training camp is kind of nuts. You know, we're watching every preseason game. I really want to see what running backs and wide receivers are getting reps with the first team offense. You know, is Rex Burkhead going to get reps with the first team offense in preseason? You know, very often that can be a tell for what is going to happen in week one. It is not always, but it can give us an idea. We can have a better idea than someone who isn't paying attention to things like that. During the season, it actually slows down a little bit from training camp. It's still very busy, but, you know, every team isn't practicing every single day. Every coach isn't talking every single day. There are fewer injuries during the season than there is in training camp. But the season usually goes like this. So Sunday, all the games are played. And I watch like four or five games on Sunday, and then I will at the end of Sunday before I go to bed, I have all these running stats that I'm updating, you know, pretty basic stats, but stats that I definitely need for my article, which comes out every. Was it Thursday during the day? Yeah, I think Thursday during the day. And then Monday, I will start watching games that I did not watch on Sunday. And I'll try to get as many games as I can under my belt. And then, you know, it's usually back to jumping back into statistics. Some statistics don't even come out until Tuesdays. And then it's just writing pretty much the rest of the way while mixing in some podcasts, of course, the Fantasy Feast on Wednesday morning. And then, you know, just getting ready for the games. I guess that's like the shortest way to put it.
So, I mean, I know you're going to tell me hard work and I just put in the time and all that stuff, but there's a lot of fantasy analysts that put in a lot of time. I guess, you know, my opinion, just from following you on Twitter and talking with you every week for years now, I really think you're the best. I mean, you mentioned Mike Clay. I think he's excellent as well. There's a lot of good guys out there. Is there something about your process or your approach or anything that you think is what differentiates you from a lot of the other guys?
I mean, I definitely don't think that I'm better. You know, I think that there are a lot of guys that are better than me. And I'm always, like, trying to learn from those guys. And Mike Clay is one of them. And Rich Rebar, who we recently hired at Roto-World, is one of them. And, you know, Matt Waldman, who we have had on the show a bunch of times, is one of them. So I'm always trying to learn from these super, super smart guys. I don't know if there's something that really differentiates me. I mean, you know, I try to dig for information. I try to be like a good Twitter follow. I try to, be prepared. I try to have like a lot of information, not necessarily the best projections. You know, Mike Clay has the best projections, but I try to be able to provide a lot of information so that, you know, the people that are listening to this podcast or the people that are reading my matchups column on Thursday can have that level of information. I can help convey that to them, and then they can make their decision and be comfortable with their decision, whether it's right or wrong.
So then my last question, I think, is how old are you?
I just turned 34. Going bald.
When was your birthday?
May 11th.
Oh, happy birthday, man. I started to turn bald way before 34, dude. You can see a little bit. You can see it a little bit on my wedding video when I was 26. So way ahead of you there. But do you like, what do you see for your future and the future of the industry? Like, do you love where you're at right now? Is there anything else you could see in the future? Like, is there a goal? I want to be this someday, or are you kind of there? And what do you want? What do you want people to think of when they think of you? Getting deep now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I just want people to think that, you know, this guy like pours his heart into what he does, and can maybe help me. Win a fantasy week, or, you know, maybe win some money in DFS, or, you know, maybe win my league, you know, because we were out in front on this player or on this trend or whatever. I don't know. For my future, I don't really know. We will play it by ear and see how it goes. I have a contract with Roto World, and I don't have any plans to leave Roto World. I love it. And then what was the other question?
Well, it was, yeah. I mean, I threw a bunch at you. Do you see any what do you think's the future of fantasy football? I mean, I've heard a bunch of different ideas out there. Do you think it's going to trend back towards daily? Do you think it's going to trend more towards best ball? If you looked into your crystal ball, and obviously nobody knows, but 5 years from now, where do you think fantasy is?
Yeah, so I know that this is an industry that is on the up and up, and that people are trying to attack with new ideas and new business ideas. And so I think that there's a lot of growth potential for the industry and for people that are like entrepreneurs trying to come up with a new idea. And I think that that will ultimately determine in which way the fantasy sports industry grows. But because there are so many smart people that are in the industry, number one, that are looking at the industry as an opportunity, number two, I think that bodes really well for the industry. I don't know that daily fantasy is as much of the future as I probably would have thought it was in 2014 anymore. I think that best ball does have a lot of growth and potential and upside, and I would expect that to continue to grow. I mean, right now there are only a couple of places that you can even play best ball. You know, there's not a lot of, and there's not a lot of competition for those places. So I don't know if I could say exactly where I think the industry will be in, you know, 5-10 years, but I definitely think that it's a really good industry to be in. And I think that it's probably only going to get better because so many smart people are involved with it and looking at getting involved with it.
I think that's very, very well said. I've heard some really interesting ideas. It'll continue to evolve because of the continuing popularity. We do have an email question for you today, Evan, and it's someone, this is from a couple of weeks ago. I can't remember what the sponsor was, whether it was Omaha or Saks or SeatGeek or whatever, but, you know, just to break things up a little bit, we'll hit the sounder. Go ahead, Bri.
Ever wanted to ask an NFL player a question? Well, here's your chance. It's time to ask Ross.
Evan, ever want to ask an NFL player's sidekick the question? Actually, I'm the sidekick. I don't know. Actually, ever want to ask the NFL player's mentor? Because that's what you are for me as it relates to fantasy football. The question is from Matt Hammer. And he said, hopefully my wife did this correctly. Oh, that was the order that he sent me. I can't remember what sponsor he took advantage of, but that was the sponsor confirmation. Anyway, he wants into the next MFL 10 so he can whip your Ivy League. I want into the next MFL 10 so I can whip your Ivy League mouth and Rex Burkhead's secret lover, Silva. Who should I keep? Two of these four, A.J. Green for $68, Mike Evans, $42, Tyler Eifert, $1, or Corey Coleman, $1. Half point PPR, $200 auction draft. We start two flex. One's a wide receiver tight end. One's a wide receiver running back. So it's A.J. Green, $68. Mike Evans, $42. Tyler Eifert, $1. Corey Coleman, $1.
This is not an easy one. A.J. Green, you know, is tempting. He's obviously the best. I mean, he's pretty clearly the best guy on the list. $68, you know, that's... It's significantly more than what he would be paying for Mike Evans at 42, who really isn't that much lower down the rankings for me. But I do like A.J. Green better than Mike Evans. I think that Tyler Eifert is kind of tempting at $1. You know, he locks down your tight end position. You don't even have to worry about that. And you're keeping him at the minimum. So I would seriously consider him. $68 is a lot to spend on A.J. Green. I do think that he's worth it. Mike Evans at $42 is probably the best value. I think based on value, I'd probably narrow it down to Mike Evans and Tyler Eifert. And, you know, I think the rest might come down to your philosophy, you know. If you think that you can get a good tight end for cheap in the auction, then, you know, go for it. If you just don't think that there is enough value there in Tyler Eifert, Mike Evans at 42, you know, he's going to go for more than that, I would think, in the auction. So, but I would narrow it down to those two guys.
That makes me feel really good because that was my initial reaction. I'm no expert like you, but I just thought, well, if A.J. Green's 68, Mike Evans is 42, that seems like some value. And if you get Tyler Eifert for $1, that seems like a lot of value. So that's what I was thinking, and I'm glad that you kind of made me feel like I knew what the heck I was talking about. Matt, we appreciate the email question. If you ever have a specific email question for Evan, you guys know what to do. Take advantage of any of the sponsors or Amazon or PayPal or whatever over at rostucker.com, and you can get your question answered by the great Evan Silva. Really enjoyed this podcast. I hope you guys did as much as I do. A lot of you have been listening to him for years, but don't really know a whole lot about the guy. Now you do. And Evan, I know you hate talking about yourself, so now you can just tell anybody that ever asks you, just go check out the Fantasy Feast podcast from mid-June in 2017. You can hear anything you want to know. Those emails are awesome. Those of you that spread the word via social media or download this podcast on multiple devices multiple times are absolutely awesome. iTunes rankings comments really help us out quite a bit. Other than that, I'm once again stuffed. I think we're done here.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
So I've been telling you guys about TrueCar for a while now, and what's amazing about it is as soon as my wife said, honey, I need to get a new car, I said, TrueCar. Because they have the information on anything that's been sold in your area. Think about it. 3 million cars sold, over 13,000 dealers, over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available, average savings of over $3,000 off MSRP. Using TrueCar, you can easily find the car you want. And here's the key. TrueCar will show you what other people in your area paid for the car you want. Now you know what a fair price is so you can feel confident. Before we even started looking, she was looking at Explorers, Tahoes. I said, hey, look at TrueCar and you can find out exactly what other people have paid in the area. It is awesome. TrueCar customers are more likely to enjoy a faster buying process when they connect with TrueCar certified dealers. Plus, TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.